Hello and thanks for joining us on the NITV News Podcast. There is shock and outrage across Australia after a group of far-right protesters attacked Camp Sovereignty, an Aboriginal sacred site in Melbourne's CBD. Women were among those assaulted by the group, and an Indigenous leader has labelled the incident an act of terrorism.
Camp Sovereignty, a sacred place maintained by First Nations people, under attack.
Pretty serious assault took place here yesterday. I really believe it could be classed as an act of terrorism.
Around 40 men dressed in black storming the grounds, punching, kicking and swinging weapons at community members, women were also targeted.
Hey, leave her alone, what the f*** are you doing?
You're beating up your own women!
What are you going to do, Rich?
One of them got hit with a pole in, you know, multiple parts of the body. The other person got hit in the back of the head and they've had to have stitches.
One woman in her 30s was taken to the Alfred Hospital in a stable condition. It's understood four people required treatment.
That's weak. Weakness of this group of so-called men to commit violence against the majority of women.
The attackers eventually leaving the camp. But not before stealing and desecrating Aboriginal flags.
I got kicked like twice.
Literally, police are letting a group of just racist thugs walk the streets and it's
Police arrived and spoke with members of the far-right group, but no arrests were made.
Why aren't you arresting them?
We need to question why there are no arrests and what the police are doing about it.
In a statement, Victoria Police says Melbourne Crime Investigation Unit detectives are investigating the affray. Police are keen to speak to anyone in attendance, as well as anyone with footage of the incident. Michael Rennie, NITV News.
Cabinet ministers have denounced the violent attacks that unfolded during the protest. They have warned community members who took part in the protest that neo-Nazis are exploiting their housing and employment concerns.
The advance of anti-immigration sentiment, putting Australia's Nazi protesters in plain sight.
Any attack on anyone in this country in terms of physical violence is reprehensible. And what happened at Camp Sovereignty is reprehensible.
A con job by the neo-Nazis to exploit some, you know, fairly genuine concerns about things like housing and cost of living for their own nefarious agenda.
The fallout from yesterday's protests across the nation still unfolding. New vision emerging showing some carrying posters with the face of Desi Freeman, accused of shooting two police officers, who remains on the run. As police continue to make arrests, two federal politicians who elected to take part in the protests feeding a counter-demonstration in the parliament.
Order!
Migrants like me have been told again and again to put up, shut up, or go back to where I come from. And that has now resulted in this despicable anti-immigrant sentiment that has flowed onto the streets of our cities.
The government moving to reassure multicultural communities because the protesters had singled out Indian migration.
Targeting specific ethnic groups like the wave of anti-Indian sentiment that we saw over the weekend, that is racism.
This past weekend, rallies occurred across Australia, attended by people of goodwill, but hijacked by violent neo-Nazis spouting hate and racism. That can never be accepted.
The people in this country voted for a government that would understand that modern Australia was, as the minister has just reflected, a different nation than it was under the White Australia policy some time ago. Yeah. Our diversity is a strength.
Anna Henderson, NITV News.
The federal court has ruled that the government failed to meet its legal requirements to consult Indigenous groups before approving a water resources plan for part of the Murray-Darling Basin. The New South Wales Fractured Rock Water Resource Plan refers to the management of groundwater across the basin. The court heard that then-Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek had not seen a copy of the plan before she approved it in 2022. The court's decision is a win for the 20 traditional owner groups that make up the Murray Lower Darling Rivers Indigenous Nations. They took the matter to the court, saying they weren't properly consulted on cultural, social and spiritual matters. The federal court has ordered the decision to approve the water resource plan be squashed and that a re-evaluation be carried out under the new minister, Murray Watt. The Northern Territory coroner has identified system failures in the deaths of two Aboriginal women at Darwin's national quarantine facility during the COVID-19 pandemic. The so-called Gold Standard facility at Howard Springs near Darwin housed more than 64,000 people over 2 years. Between the late 2021 and early 2022, two Indigenous women died at the camp. Coroner Elizabeth Armitage found 46-year-old Karen Badding had chronic illnesses, including COVID-19, which was seriously underestimated, and she should have been quarantined in hospital. Judge Armitage found vulnerable residents held in mandatory isolation were not adequately assessed or monitored, and there was a high degree of reliance on telephone checks. Three Australian First Nations athletes have become the first Indigenous people in the world to run all seven Abbott World Marathon majors. Western Arrentaman Charlie Mayer, Torres Strait Islander Bianca Graham, and Indigenous Marathon Project graduate Natasha Leslie ran the Sydney Marathon on Sunday. The trio are among an exclusive group of runners to run all seven World Marathon majors. Having already conquered six marathons overseas, including Tokyo, Boston, and London.
Just really happy and proud, you know, like so happy I can continue to make a difference and inspire others to be better and look after their health and well-being, and just real special occasion today, and just so happy to finish it and finish my seventh major marathon.
There was such a vibe in Sydney, but this is my first marathon to do in Australia, so it was beautiful, cracking day.
Matilda's icon Lydia Williams has officially hung up her boots, announcing her retirement from all levels of football after 21 years in the professional game. The 36-year-old stepped away from the national team last year with an emotional farewell in Melbourne, but continued to ply her trade in the A-League Women's Comp with Melbourne Victory. The Noongar goalkeeper finishes her career with 104 national team caps, appearances at 5 FIFA Women's World Cups and 2 Olympic Games, along with stints in England, France, Sweden, and the United States. And that's all for now. I'm Luana Grant. For more Indigenous news, tune in to NITV News Weeknights. And stay tuned right here on NITV Radio for all the latest news updates.